I don't give a crap that he died. Those are the sick words of the so-called Mangionistas. These are Luigi Mangione super fans who huddled outside the courthouse and actually got inside just this past week. Has this gone too far? I think it has. They say that they simply don't care about the life of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson, who was gunned down by Luigi Mangione. Has this defendant now become a much more serious social problem in this world?
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, SDS Nation? Welcome to Surviving the Survivor. This is the global phenomenon, bringing you the very best guests in all of true crime. And tonight, the Luigi Mangione case takes another sick, twisted, wild turn. As a judge rules, jurors are going to see the alleged murder weapon and the notebook. So they're going to see the murder weapon and the notebook. And prosecutors also say that they're going to detail and outline exactly how Luigi Mangione went about assassinating former United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. But the judge, at the same time, he threw out the key evidence from the backpack search, creating a massive split decision before the trial. And as we talked about, these Mangionistas outside the courtroom, they are growing louder and louder. These are so-called fangirls, protesters. There's some guys involved, but majority of them are women. They are self-described activists. They're influencers out there with their cell phone cameras taking pictures. Even people with New York City press passes were openly celebrating the accused killer's court appearance and some of the rulings made as though he's some kind of anti-corporate folk hero. So the question is, what is going on? Is this becoming a culture war? Could Luigi Mangione cut a plea deal? Why are copycat suspects now being, using his name, I should say, why are copycatters invoking his name when discussing this case? And has this case transformed from a murder prosecution into an ideological movement? These are the big questions to ask tonight. But first, once again, I was having a conversation with my daughters last night. It's my little ones, or the oldest one, who's still little. It's her bat mitzvah, and they were doing some TikTok dances. And one I heard say to the other, it's not as cool as her friends. And I've always preached the horrors and dangers of social media. And now there is proof that this is the case. A jury just ordered platforms like Meta, owner of Facebook, to pay millions for their role in promoting addictive platforms. They knew their apps could contribute to anxiety, depression, and body harm, and they simply didn't warn anyone. Now, Morgan & Morgan is taking action. If you or someone you know experienced serious mental health struggles as a result of social media use, click the link in the show description to take a short quiz, and you could be eligible for up to $1,000 from Morgan & Morgan. Again, that link is in the show description. Take a look at it, and please discuss it with your friends, discuss it with your children, discuss it with family. Social media addiction is a serious problem, and the ramifications and repercussions of what is going on as a result of it is a major issue for our society, as are the Mangionistas, in my opinion. Now, just a quick summary for those who haven't been following. Luigi Mangione, he is accused of gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson outside that Manhattan hotel back in the early morning hours of December 2024, right on 6th Avenue there in Midtown, in what prosecutors are describing as a calculated assassination. Authorities allege that Mangione fled New York City. As you'll recall, he was staying at a youth hostel on the Upper West Side and then fled to Altoona, Pennsylvania, where he was ultimately apprehended at a McDonald's, of all places, where some people called in. They thought he was suspicious He was wearing his mask well after the pandemic, and that's what basically set off some people's spidey senses to call authorities. Now, on his person at the time, a ghost gun was found, a suppressor was found, fake IDs were found, writings, a so-called manifesto, and a notebook that prosecutors claim discussed wanting to, quote-unquote, whack a health insurance executive. Mangione has pleaded not guilty, but this is no longer just a murder case. It has become somewhat of a political Rorschach test. You've seen our guest on the air, Ildiko Tabori. Her cat is literally named Rorschach. Well, this has become a Rorschach test of sorts, an internet obsession, a courtroom circus, and for some online supporters, a full-blown anti-corporate rebellion wrapped into true crime fandom. So this is getting kind of out of control. But as far as the latest ruling goes, this week, Judge Gregory Caro in New York City handed essentially both sides victories in one of the biggest rulings yet before trial. Allowed into evidence, the jury is going to see the alleged murder weapon, that 3D printed gun, the suppressor, also, I believe, 3D printed, the so-called manifesto, the notebook, the journal, it's all coming in, and inventory search evidence obtained later on at the station house. So all of this is going to come into play because the judge ruled that those items were recovered during a lawful secondary inventory search back at the police station. Now, what will be suppressed? The judge threw out the evidence seized during the original warrantless McDonald's backpack search, including cell phone. His cell phone will not be admitted in. His passport, his wallet, a computer chip that was being utilized, and a Washington Post magazine. And that is, a win for the defense here. They're getting some things suppressed. As far as the notebook goes, prosecutors say that the notebook allegedly discussed targeting a healthcare executive. We now know that that was Brian Thompson, former CEO of United Healthcare. And it also included language about the insurance industry. This is all according to AP News. That notebook may become the emotional centerpiece of the trial. This is, you know, if you remember back to the Unabomber days, Ted Kaczynski had a so-called manifesto, and Luigi Mangione, obviously much, much younger, but he too with a manifesto of sorts. And the prosecution can really use that to, I don't want to say manipulate, because that is certainly not the right word, but maybe to influence a potential jury panel with his own words. We've seen those news stories in their own words, you know, where they're talking to Tom Brokaw about his life and you hear him speaking about it. Well, this is going to be similar, although it's going to be the words of a demented alleged assassin of a healthcare company. That, of course, being Brian Thompson, the CEO, and the demented alleged assassin, Luigi Mangione. Now, let's just circle back to what happened outside court, because a lot of people couldn't believe this, but supporters cheered for Luigi Mangione. We've seen it before, but it was a little more intense this time around. Women lining up for the hearings. There's online fandom pages literally glorifying this guy. So you've got to ask yourself, what the hell is going on? I mean, we're covering a murder for hire plot with a TikToker, and has this generation just gone awry here in their own insanity? Some of these supporters, these Mangionistas, got New York City press credentials. And let me tell you something. As a former Fox 5 reporter in New York City, credentials are next to impossible to get. They're really tough, and they make it hard. Even when you're a working member of the press in New York City, I just remember how difficult and what a pain in the ass it was to go and actually get the media credential that you need. And they make you go through hoops and steps. They do background searches. I mean, the department that handles this at the NYPD is probably twice the size of most police departments in other jurisdictions. And I remember there was a couple of years I was at Fox, along with some other reporters I work with, if I'm being totally honest, who just said, screw it. We're not getting press passes this year because it's so difficult. You got to go downtown to police headquarters. You got to wait in these insane lines. You've got to go through the magnetometers. You've got to go up. You've got to plead your case. You've got to get these press credentials. So the question lingers now, how did these Mangianistas, these, I don't know, ridiculous little fangirls, how did they get these press credentials? People were enraged and outraged and taking it out on current New York City mayor, Zoran Mamdani. Now, he pledged that he was going to investigate this and see what's going on. But we've seen faux outrage from him before, and I don't know that anything will happen other than that we're going to see these quote-unquote anti-capitalists back in court supporting Luigi Mangione. Now, the critics blasted them, saying, look, they're not reporters, they're ghouls. That was actually the quote of one critic per TheGuardian.com. Meanwhile, Mangione supporters portray him as an anti-corporate crusader, a symbol of healthcare frustration in this country. I've talked about this. Look, I was at the pharmacy, shockingly, three or four times this week trying to get some prescriptions filled, and I couldn't do it. They're like, oh, it's got to be a mail order. It's got to do this. You got to do that. You got to call this number. I mean, it's incredibly frustrating, but I can tell you at no point in time did I ever say, oh, I've got an idea. I'm going to go ahead and try to eliminate the CEO of a healthcare company. It's just not the way. And for these, you know, TikTok revolutionaries, let me tell you something. It is not the way to do it. It is just part of some fever dream that is absolutely insane, and it's got to stop. But has a culture war started here? It has exploded into something far bigger than just guilt or innocence. For some Americans, people see Brian Thompson as the man he was, which was a husband, a father to two. Look, the guy was not in a great marriage. That's been made publicly very clear. Some people initially thought maybe the wife was involved. But look, it is now a fractured family. These boys that he loves so much are growing up without a dad. And then you've got these fan girls and some boys cheering on the sidelines for this guy. I mean, that's absolutely insane. And that's why prosecutors originally pushed for these terrorism style charges. Later on, of course, Judge Caro dismissed those counts, ruling that prosecutors presented essentially no evidence for the terrorism charges. So that all ended. But now the fight becomes, is this guy Luigi Mangione, is he an assassin? Is he an activist? Is he a terrorist? Is he a folk hero? Or simply, as I think, just an accused killer? And that culture war backdrop may be part of this entire trial when and if we get to trial. Now, there is a Luigi Mangione defense fund, and take a guess at what they've raised so far. I'll give you a second. What do you think? No, you're wrong. It's $1.5 million. This is all through grassroots donations online through something called Give, Send, Go to the quote-unquote December 4th legal committee. Exact figures are at $1,516,536 with a stated goal originally of $1.5 million. So they have crossed that threshold by $16 and still going. More than 28,000 individual donations have reportedly been made. The average donation was somewhere between $20 and $27. One donor allegedly gave $36,500 to Luigi Mangione's defense fund. Imagine that an alleged killer, an assassin who did this in broad daylight on camera for the world to see, was able to raise $1.5 million. I mean, what do you think about this? It's pretty telling. Organizers openly describe Mangione as someone who is facing politicized charges. When did murder become politicized? They argue that the fund represents, and I quote here, irrefutable evidence of the public's support for Luigi. And it's not just legal fundraising anymore. This is a full-fledged movement. Now, in other news regarding this case, our friend Lauren Conlin has been on top of this. Could a plea deal be reached? Could Luigi cut a deal? She wrote about this for LA Mag. Legal experts say maybe, but it is incredibly complicated and will be to do so, to reach any sort of legal deal. And you might ask yourselves, why? Why so? Because Luigi Mangione faces both New York state charges as well as federal charges, meaning even if one side offered a plea deal, the other could still prosecute him. So if the state orders offers a plea deal, feds could try him. If the feds offer a plea deal, which they never do, a state could, say, no, we're going to try him. Now, the defense might not want a deal either, Lauren Conlin pointed out in her story, because they've already got some major victories. They've got these terrorism counts tossed, the evidence partially suppressed, a death penalty federally eliminated. So that creates momentum for a case, and maybe the defense doesn't want it either. And once the defense team here smells weakness, pleas often are frozen solid and nothing will happen. So prosecutors specifically, they might not want a deal because the case to them is much bigger than just a trial. It is symbolic. A quiet plea bargain deal could look like weakness, surrender, political retreat. Prosecutors may want a public conviction in this case, not to be confused with, the old public hangings, but a public conviction here could send a very stern message. And frankly, the defense might want that spectacle, too. So just going back to the timeline here to refresh for everyone as we look back at this Luigi Mangione case and the recent court ruling of this past week. Allowing some evidence like the gun, the suppressor, and the notebooks, aka manifesto, in and other things not allowed in. Let's just take a look back at the timeline. Again, December 4th, 2024 is where we have to go back to. That's when Brian Thompson, the United Healthcare CEO and father of two, is shot outside of a Midtown hotel. Shell casings are found. Investigators recover shell casings, and they're marked, as you might recall, with the words delay, deny, depose. And that has become sort of an anthem of these Mangionistas. They're using that refrain, delay, deny, depose, in their own chantings in favor of Luigi Mangione. Police say that Mangione then escaped. He fled Manhattan using taxis, transit, bus routes. At one point, they say he was on a bicycle. There was a surveillance, a manhunt using surveillance that was nationwide for this guy. Everyone in America was looking for him. 5 days later, on December 9th, 2024, Mangione is arrested inside that Altoona, Pennsylvania McDonald's after an employee there recognizes him from the released photos. They get the backpack evidence there. Police allegedly there recover the ghost gun, the suppressor, those various fake IDs that he was using, the notebook and all those writings. But then moving forward to September of 2025, the judge tosses the terrorism related murder. That goes out the window. January 2026, the federal death penalty, potential exposure. Of the federal death penalty, that is eliminated as well. So these are wins for the defense. May 2026 brings us to today. The judge rules that the gun and the notebook, once again, that the gun and the notebook are admissible, but other items are suppressed that are found within that backpack. September 8th of 2026, looking ahead in our crystal ball, that is when the state trial is expected to begin. That's my sister's birthday. Shout out to Arden. September 8th, again, when the state trial is expected to begin. Now, other suspects have been invoking his name. It is the so-called Luigi Mangione effect here that is going on, and that is troubling, referencing Mangione, this copycat behavior. And I'm not going to go into the specifics of who's doing this because I don't want to encourage anyone else. But just the last couple of weeks, people have said, hey, I've done this because Luigi Mangione has done this. And again, this transforms a murder trial and a murder case into something much more serious and potentially dangerous. And you see the potential problems that this is causing from a cultural perspective as well. Mangione himself previously blasted the dual prosecutions here as quote unquote double jeopardy by any common sense definition, but legal scholars have weighed in and said, now, nothing to see here. It is not double jeopardy. This has happened before where you get both state and federal charges. What could be difficult, but probably not in New York City, because I was at the P. Diddy trial and most people never even heard of P. Diddy who were being voir dired for that case. And if they had, they knew next to nothing. Well, here, can you pick an impartial jury? Can you do it in Altoona, Pennsylvania? Maybe not. Can you do it in New York City? Yes, but you've got to be careful. Some jurors might despise them. Some Mangionista-esque jurors might love them. So you got to be careful while picking a jury, and I'm sure the judge will be all over that. So that is a sort of a quick 21-minute recap of Luigi Mangione, the week that was, the years that preceded, and looking ahead to a possible trial date on September 8th. I did mention Morgan & Morgan is looking at some social media issues, people who are affected seriously by social media, whether it's children or adults. There will be a link in the comment section and a short quiz that you can take. You could be eligible for up to $1,000 if they believe you fit the parameters. This is something that's close to my heart as the father of three young kids. The more people who click, the more it helps Surviving the Survivor to grow and obtain future advertisers. So if you can literally take 30 to 60 seconds, which is all it takes to fill out the questionnaire in the hyperlink under the show summary, we will be indebted to you. It would mean a lot to us if you can please do that. And it is a serious issue. And someone called me out. Oh, it's Rich, that a social media guy. YouTube, is it a form of social media? I guess, but we're putting out news about true crime. I'm not sitting here putting together TikTok dances and making people feel bad about themselves. And if I am, I apologize. Maybe I make myself feel bad about me, but not about other people. So please, it's apples and oranges. But if you can, again, it helps us tremendously. What else helps us? Click the like button, hit the subscribe button, and leave us a comment and let us know what you think about this episode. And we will be back on the flip side. It's been a wild week. It's my daughter's bat mitzvah on Sunday. Chaotic. So thank you for bearing with us. Love you, America. Justice for Brian Thompson. Mangionistas, what the hell are you guys thinking?